The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Some people have come to Christ with great excitement, but then they drifted away. The excitement and commitment waned. Pastor Greg Laurie comments.
It's great to have a great start and a great finish, but here's what's not good. The greatest of starts and a horrible finish. It doesn't matter if you've held the first place position for 9 out of 10 laps. If you don't finish the race, you don't win the prize. And the same is true of the Christian life.
This is the day.
People decide one day to get back to the gym. They make the commitment on a Monday and they're all in. Tuesday, there they are. Wednesday, Thursday, a little late. Friday, oops, missed that day. And by the following Wednesday, they want their money back. Some people come to Christ full of passion and resolve. But today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out, it's not how you start, but how you finish. It's our final study in Nehemiah, where we'll learn to finish well.
Hey, imagine for a moment what it would be like you've been saving for your big vacation to Hawaii. Your plane lands, the warm, balmy breezes of the islands roll over you, and you check into your hotel, and the next morning you get up bright and early, and you're going out for a cup of coffee, and suddenly you get a buzz on your smartphone, and you read this message that's on the screen, emergency alert. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Of course, this happened, as you all know, to all residents of Hawaii and to visitors as well. And for 37 minutes, people waited. I read some articles about it. Some people were running through the streets screaming. Some parents were putting their children into little storm drains because there is no emergency shelter in Hawaii. There are no places for people to go if a nuclear weapon were detonated. That is not the kind of news you want to wake up to in the morning. Thankfully, it was a false alarm. Well, we're back in the book of Nehemiah for a final message. And Nehemiah, at this stage, historically, has gone back to Babylon. Remember, that's where he was originally, serving as the king's cupbearer when he heard the news that the walls of Jerusalem were lying in burned, charred out rubble. So Nehemiah made the journey to Jerusalem, funded by the king, even with an armed escort, and he rallied the people and did the impossible. They rebuilt the walls of the city. They prayed. They dedicated themselves to the Lord. They confessed their sins, and a great revival broke out. But now he's given a message that things aren't going well back in Jerusalem, and he needed to return, reminding us that just because you have a good beginning, it does not guarantee you will have a good finish. Well, the foundation was laid in Jerusalem. The walls were rebuilt. The temple was there, but they were not keeping it. They were not doing well at all. They started well, but they were not finishing well. Listen, it's great to have a great start and a great finish, but you can even have a mediocre start or even a bad start and have a great finish. But here's what's not good. The greatest of starts and a horrible finish. If you're running in a race and you don't finish the race, it doesn't matter if you've held the first place position for 9 out of 10 laps. If you don't finish the race, you don't win the prize. And the same is true of the Christian life. So let's backtrack a little bit. Then we'll kind of get to the conclusion. But let's pick up chronologically where we left off last time. You remember Nehemiah returns. They rebuild the walls. Ezra is brought out of mothballs. He led the first wave of Jews returning to Babylon. He helped to rebuild the temple. He had been largely inactive. They bring him out again. He reads scripture to the people for 3 hours. Then they confess their sins to God for 3 hours. And there's this great revival that breaks out. And now the people make a series of very significant commitments to the Lord. And that's where we pick up. We're in Nehemiah 10. Then the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who had separated themselves from the pagan people of the land, in order to obey the law of God, together with their wives, sons, daughters, and all who were old enough to understand, they swore an oath. They bound themselves with an oath, and they swore a curse on themselves if they failed to obey the law of God as issued by his servant Moses. They solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. We'll stop there. So back to Nehemiah. He's returned to Babylon. Mission accomplished. Awesome. So glad I obeyed the Lord. The walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt and everything's wonderful. There was a revival and someone says, hey man, things aren't going well back in Jerusalem. First of all, the people aren't giving. In fact, it's so bad that the Levites have gone home. The priests there, they're not being supported. And the people are intermarrying all these weird pagan people and they're worshiping their false gods. In fact, their kids don't even know the language of Israel. They're learning these other languages and everything's falling apart and there's sin there. And so you got to go back and do something. As Yogi Berra said, it was like deja vu all over again. So Nehemiah says, all right, I'll return. So he goes back and he finds the situation just as they described, maybe even a little bit worse. And basically the temple wasn't functioning any longer. Imagine for a moment what the world would look like if the church were gone. Think about how our city would be if there was no harvest, if there was no any other church here. You know, we've been here well over 40 years helping people, ministering to people. And even if people don't come to church as often as they like, they know church is there, right? They know there's a service Sunday. They know there's midweek studies. They know there's help. They know if they're having a problem in their marriage, they can go in and a pastor will meet with them and help them. And by the way, we have helped literally thousands of people with their marriages over the years we've been here. And we've seen them saved by God's grace. It's true. And we don't charge for it. Some churches do. You have to pay to get counseling. We don't charge. When you give here, that goes toward providing this service for people. A lot of times we're leading people to Christ. And that's the first thing they need to get resolved to have a better marriage. I talked to a guy after first service and he was in gangs and was having a lot of trouble with his wife. And he came in and he says, it saved my marriage, Pastor. So you see, that's just one of many, many stories. So, you know, think about what the world would look like if the church were not here. You know, when it's time to get married, we're here to offer free premarital counseling, which we offer to you so you can have a strong marriage. Because it's not just about the wedding, it's about the marriage. And we want it to last. If you have problems, we're there for you as well. If you have problems with your teenagers or any age, you know we have youth ministry here. You know that a youth pastor will take the time to minister to them and help them. You know that when a loved one dies, you can come to the church and we'll be here to comfort you and encourage you and help you with this service. What if the church was gone? Think about what the world would look like. Thank God for the church. Thank God for this church and the light we've been able to be in this community. That's right. And thank God for you that are a part of this church, volunteering your time, serving here so faithfully, giving of your finances. God bless you and thank you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Well, these folks, the Israelites, they're just like us. We're just like them. They went back on their promises, and to sort of show how bad it had gotten, they let Tobiah back in. Do you remember Tobiah? We learned about him earlier in Nehemiah. Tobiah, Sanballat. This guy was a total creep, okay? Remember that Tobiah, along with Sanballat, tried to stop the rebuilding of the wall 12 years earlier. First, it was a potential military attack against Israel. Then he got involved in a plot to take Nehemiah out personally. And when those efforts failed, he did everything he could to discredit Nehemiah and slander him. Tobiah was trouble with a capital T. So Nehemiah returns to Jerusalem, and what does he find? He finds they've given him a guest house to Tobiah in the temple. Tobiah's in the temple. It's like, what are you guys, crazy? What are you doing here? Yeah, the fox was in the hen house. And Nehemiah was seriously and righteously angry, and he took immediate action. Go over to Nehemiah 13, verse 8. I became very upset and threw all of Tobiah's belongings out of the room. And then I demanded all the rooms to be purified. And I brought back the articles for God's temple, the grain offerings and the frankincense. I love that. Out with the old, in with the new. When something is dirty, you need to clean it. And Nehemiah says, fumigate the place. It still smells like Tobiah.
Pastor Greg will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We're so grateful to hear of the changed lives through a new beginning. And whenever you send us a letter, email, or post a comment on social media, we read every word.
Dear Greg, I married a Christian man, but was not being a Christian wife God wanted me to be. I was unkind and selfish. In the fall of 2012, God got a hold of me, and I realized what kind of wife I'd become. I asked for forgiveness. Happily ever after, right? Not so much. Soon after, my husband decided he didn't love me anymore, and my life and marriage went into a downward spiral. Having heard your program many times, I remember sitting there wondering if you had a message on marriage problems. It was the same week that you were doing a message on marriage, divorce, and adultery. I tuned in, and it was like God used you to talk directly to me. I listened and re-listened to those messages to help me get through. I prayed and asked God to take control. That Saturday night, my husband came home and said he wanted to work on our marriage. It took a period of months and some counseling from our pastor and his wife, but God saved our marriage. Pastor Greg, I thank the Lord for your message right when I needed it and when I was losing hope. Happy ending. Now we have two amazing little boys and are so much in love with each other. Thank you for letting me share, and God bless you.
What an encouraging story of God working in this woman's marriage and family. Do you have a story to tell? Pastor Greg would love to hear from you. Just email him at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg is presenting a message today called This Is Not a Drill. We've just learned how Nehemiah essentially cleaned house, including evicting a certain man named Tobiah.
Tobiah was trouble with a capital T. Do you have a Tobiah in your life? You know, someone that just always gets you going the wrong direction. It might be a guy or girl in a romantic relationship of sorts, or someone else, they just bring you down. You got to separate from this. This reminds us of when Jesus went into the temple and cleansed it. Remember, he overturned the tables? By the way, did you know he did that twice? Isn't that amazing? So first he goes into the temple, and in the outer court of the Gentiles, they've set up all these tables with these jacked up prices, ripping people off. So people come in, they bring their little lamb for the offering, and one of the guys at the tables would say, oh, that's never going to pass muster. You can't offer that lamb, but we'll sell you this other lamb at a higher price. And this is horrible. Instead of praying for the people, they were praying on the people. So Jesus came in, literally turned the tables over, drove them out, even used a whip, which I love. You know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, da-da-da-da, whack, you know. But then a little bit of time passes and someone sets up the first table, then the second, then the third. Next thing you know, it's happening again. And he has to drive him out a second time. You've got to stay on top of things because it's very easy to take one step forward and two steps back. This might be a good time for me to admit a serious addiction I've struggled with for a great part of my life. I've never shared this before publicly, but I'm going to share it now. My addiction. I bite my fingernails. It's the worst habit ever. Does anybody else bite their fingernails? Hold up your pathetic little hand. It's so bad. Usually when I'm under stress, I, you know. And when you bite your fingernails, you're very limited. Like if you drop a dime on the floor, forget about it. You can't get it. No nails. Your little nubs are, you can't, I can't. I'll take a piece of paper, slide it under the dime. You know, you learn little tricks. When you go to scratch yourself, it's just like, you know, it's no nails. You need the nail, man. Nails are good. So I have victory right now. My nails have grown out for now. I'm not making any promises. There's always tomorrow. I get under a little stress, you know. Okay, that's life, isn't it? I'm doing well. Look at my life. Everything's together. All my ducks are in a row. Okay, good. Then there's tomorrow. And there might be a little problem. And a little problem will turn into a bigger problem. Then one thing will lead to another. That's what happened here. But God gave them a chance to repent, and they did. Isn't it great that God gives second chances? He'll give you a second chance today if you need one. All right, as we come to the end of this message, back to that ominous warning about ballistic missiles headed to Hawaii. Look at it again. I mean, imagine. You look at your phone. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. I read some articles about what was happening. I already told you people were panicking, freaking out. But not everybody. You know, we have a friend. Her name is Shelley. She has a second home over in Hawaii on the north shore of Oahu. And so she texted my wife, Kathy, after they gave the all clear. What was it, 37 minutes later? She said, I had a neighbor come over to my house panicking, saying, what do we do? Shelley said, the first thing we do is we pray. And then she prayed with her neighbor. And then she said, now we need to make sure that we know where we're going when we leave this earth. Everybody needs a neighbor like this. You need to be a neighbor like this. You know, Shelley could have said, hey man, I'm freaking out. I don't have time to deal with your drama. No, she took time for her to help her. Just like Nehemiah left the comfort of the palace in Babylon to go help his people. And we need to do that same. Be that neighbor. Let me be that neighbor for you right now. One day a real threat will come your way in life. It could be a nuclear threat. More likely it'll be a personal one. That unexpected heart attack, car accident. One thing is certain, no one gets out of here alive. And that is where faith and reason come in. A lot of times people say Christians are idiots, they're fools. Really? Okay, so when the missile's coming, who are you going to go to? You know, who's going to help you? Your computer is not going to help you. Your new iPhone isn't going to help you. Your favorite band isn't going to help you. Even your friends can't help you. What are you going to do? You need God, and I think you know you need God. And that's why you want to make sure you're right with God. You know, I've thought before, you know, like if I was there and I knew I had X amount of minutes before something like this would happen, I would want to share the gospel. And I've thought, could I share the gospel in under 3 minutes? What if you were on a plane and all the engines were out and you were going down? Could you share the gospel in 3 minutes? You say, well, Greg, can you? Okay, I'll take a stab at it, okay? Here's what I would say to people if I had this much time. I'd say, first of all, I want to tell you that God loves you. And you're separated from God by your sin. But here's the good news. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. And if you'll turn from your sin and believe in Jesus, he will forgive you of all of it right now. And you can go to heaven. Would you like to pray with me? Pray this prayer. And I would lead him in a prayer. It's cut to the chase. No opening illustration. No jokes. Just straight gospel infusion. You can do that. You can be that neighbor for someone else. But let me ask you, what if you got that message as you left church today and it wasn't a mistake? It wasn't a drill. It was real. Do you know where you're going? I heard about an inscription on a tombstone. These words are written on it. Pause now, stranger, as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. Someone reading that tombstone was overheard to say, "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." So which way will you go? You have two options. When you die, and you will, unless the Lord comes before that, and he could. But if you die, or when you die, you will either go straight to heaven or you will go ultimately to hell. I don't say that with any pleasure. I just say that because it's gospel truth. And the last thing God wants is for you to go to hell. That's why he sent Jesus to this earth, his one and only beloved son, and poured his judgment upon his son. You know, we deserve the judgment. We've rebelled against God. We've defied God. We've broken the laws of God. And yet God took his only son and put that judgment on Jesus so we didn't have to face it. Man, that's love. And he'll forgive you of any sin you've ever committed. But you must say, "God, forgive me." This can happen for you right now. Or if you're one of those people I talked about earlier that, you know, you've kind of veered off the path. You say you're a Christian, but you're doing things a Christian should not do. You can come back to Jesus. Let's get that resolved right here, right now. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Everyone praying, "Father, I pray now that you will speak to the heart of every person that's here, every person that's listening and watching wherever they are. If they don't know you yet, Lord, help them to come to you now, we pray. Amen."
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer for those who want to make a change in their relationship with the Lord. And if you'd like to do that today, Pastor Greg will help you in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. Before we go any further, if you'd like a CD of today's full presentation, get in touch and mention the title of the study, "This Is Not a Drill." It's our final study in the book of Nehemiah. Order online at harvest.org or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, I know Chuck Swindoll is a friend of yours, and one of his quotes that I really like a lot is this one. He says, "We're all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." And many people are seeing this time as a series of impossible situations, but I know you're seeing the great opportunities that this time presents, aren't you?
Yes. I guess you could call it making lemons into lemonade, to use a cliche, but really it is. And, you know, disappointment can be God's appointment. And so we're not saying God has sent COVID-19, but certainly God is aware of it.
Yeah.
And God allowed it. And God is using it in a way, working despite it, another way to say it, because basically it's been a national wake-up call, and people are turning to the Lord like no other time I've seen in over 45 years of ministry. Let me illustrate. In a four-week period, with people watching our online service called Harvest at Home, we saw 31,000 professions of faith. You're thinking, Greg, wow, you have that number wrong. It's 3,100. No, folks, it's 31,000. Because when
I'm
speaking,
not just the number of people that are tuned in. That's the number of people who responded.
No, there's around 1 million-plus people tuned in.
Oh, my goodness.
These are people from all around the world. These are older people. These are younger people. These are men. These are women. And guess what? A large percentage of them are millennials. Above 30% of the people responding are millennials. And I'm wondering, is this the way that we're going to see the next spiritual awakening in America, through screens? Here's a generation, certainly the millennials, 100% Generation Z, that have never known anything but screens in their life. They connect with each other through screens. I remember reading a stat that said many millennials and Gen Z people would rather text than talk. So here's a generation that connects to the screen. Now, we can criticize that and we can deplore that, but here's the truth. They're connecting to the screen and they're hearing the gospel, maybe in ways that they wouldn't connect as well in a live service. Please understand, I'm not suggesting we not do live services. And when I say live, I mean in person with congregations and so forth. But what I am saying is God is at work So let's find this light in the midst of a dark time and give God the glory. And I've written a book that really I think will help people get a biblical perspective on what we're facing together, and it's called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. This is a brand new book. It deals with how to handle your fear, how to deal with your anxiety, how to put the Lord first in all things, how to look for the good despite the bad that you might be facing in your home or in other areas of your life. And I want to send this to you right now for free. Really, I just want you to have it. But if you can support us financially in this time, we'd really appreciate it, because the Lord is opening up doors for us here at A New Beginning that we've never seen open before, to reach people we've never been able to reach before. Mm-hmm. This is truly a significant moment in not just American history, but in global history. This is an opening for the gospel. Let's go through this door together. So I appreciate your support for us financially. I really appreciate your prayers for us. And I want to send this book as a way of saying thank you. It's called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis.
Yeah, that's right. And we have a copy waiting for you. Thank you so much for your investment in this important work of evangelism at this critical time in our nation's history. But no matter what amount you can invest right now, please do contact us and ask about Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. And then just before I pass along the address again, if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg would like to help you with that right now.
Listen, if you would like Jesus Christ to come into your life right now, if you would like your sin forgiven, if you would like a new start in life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you would ask for God's forgiveness. So I'm going to ask you to just stop what you're doing right now and bow your head and pray this prayer with me if you want to make a commitment, a recommitment to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and I thank you for dying on that cross for my sin and paying the price for it and rising again from the dead. I turn from that sin now, and I make a choice to follow you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for calling me and forgiving me and receiving me and loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed with Pastor Greg and have meant those words from your heart, well, first of all, welcome to the family of God. And second, we'd like to offer some help as you get started as a Christian. We'd like to send you our new Believer's Growth Packet. Just get in touch and ask for it. We'll send it free of charge to those making a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Again, you can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. I want to tell you about a great way to hear God's word and worship with fellow believers, not only around the nation, but around the world. It's called Harvest at Home.
Millions are tuning in from all over the planet, and tens of thousands have made decisions for Jesus Christ. Why not join us?
You just go to our website, harvest.org. We have our weekend services there, of course, but we also have great ministry there every single day. Sometimes it's visiting a message from a Harvest Crusade. Another time it's a Q&A session we're doing. Maybe it's something my wife is doing for the ladies, and we even feature Christian films.
Movies such as Lost Boy, Pastor Greg's life story, Steve McQueen, American Icon, and Hope for Hurting Hearts with Jeremy Camp and Nick Vujicic.
All that and a lot more at harvest.org.
It's your resource for family enrichment and spiritual growth.
So join us for Harvest at Home each week at harvest.org.
Well, next time, some practical insights for all of us who are encountering the difficulties of this uncertain time. Pastor Greg offers a message called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Join us here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.